Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget that our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is the place to cover and follow the 2012 presidential race, 2012 starting here at It's a Free Country already. Currently on our site, 15 things to read and watch about Chris Christie at itsafreecountry.org. Greg David, director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Journalism School, is back with us for the second day in a row. Here's what happened. We called Greg up last week and said, we hear politicians talk about manufacturing jobs and small business jobs all the time, but how many jobs do each of those actually create? So we were going to have Greg bust some myths about manufacturing and small business together in one segment, but quickly realized there were two full conversations in this. So, Greg, you're back for day two, part two. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And before we switch to small business, I just want to follow up briefly on our discussion about manufacturing yesterday with two quick questions. We were talking about how manufacturing jobs are dwindling in the U.S., but that's not necessarily the worst thing you were saying. But Joe in Freehold wrote us this. Manufacturing means much more than the number of jobs that are directly involved in manufacturing a specific product. The number of jobs required to support the manufacturer also counts. For instance, components, materials, building and equipment construction and maintenance, support services such as payroll, life and medical insurances, clerical, packaging and shipping, etc. So he thinks when we count the loss of manufacturing jobs, it undercounts the total loss of jobs. Do you want to react to that?
Well, of course it's true, but it's true about every industry. It's called the multiplier effect. What is the multiplication of a specific job? And it will come as no surprise when I say, so what's the biggest, what industry provides the most multiplier effect in New York and around the country?
Tell me. Wall Street. Right.
Wall Street creates 3.2 jobs for every job on Wall Street, two of them in New York City, 1.2 elsewhere. Most of them are in the suburbs. Look, manufacturing does that, but so every other business has support services. Every other business has a supply chain. Other businesses ship through FedEx. You know, everybody does that.
But we don't want Wall Street to move to China either.
Well, we don't. Some people were worried about that. I'm not. But anyway.
And the other thing is the Wall Street Journal had a big article today, I wonder if you saw it, called Tallying the Toll of U.S.-China Trade. And it said, you know, it was a lot about the loss of manufacturing jobs to China, but the trade we get with them from all the cheap goods that they produce as a result. But this study said regions most exposed to China tended not only to lose more manufacturing jobs, but also to see overall employment decline. So it's related to Joe's comment. Areas with higher exposure also had larger increases in workers receiving unemployment insurance, food stamps, and disability payments. So the authors calculate that the cost to the economy from the increased government payments amounts to 1 to 2/3 of the gains from trade with China. In other words, says the Wall Street Journal, a big portion of the ways trade with China has helped the U.S., such as by providing inexpensive Chinese goods to consumers, has been wiped out.
I didn't see the story yet. I mean, the issue of trade with China and whether it's fair or not and who's benefiting or not is an incredibly controversial issue. There's no doubt that China has wiped out some manufacturing jobs in the United States. It's also true that China has wiped out manufacturing jobs lots of other places. The question is, and we talked a lot about it yesterday, would we really be making the iPhone in the United States, or would it be made in Taiwan or the Philippines or whatever? So it's not just a one-to-one, the U.S. and China.
All right, let's move on. Here is President Obama from February of this year talking to a gathering of small business owners.
Obviously, the big companies generally get most of the attention in our economy. And the success of large companies is critical to the success of medium and small businesses as well. But it's small businesses like yours that help drive America's economic growth and create 2 out of every 3 new jobs. You're the anchors of our main streets. It's small businesses built by folks who live and work in the community and look out for one another.
President Obama in February. And Greg David, obviously that kind of statement is political gold. No one's going to make waves by lauding the healing power and job creation power of small business. But can you fact check the numbers in there for us? He said 2 out of every 3 new jobs in America come from small business.
Well, that is a frequently quoted statistic, and that's what people say. And, you know, there's a lot of truth in it. Small businesses, there are an enormous number of them out here, create a lot of jobs. But a more interesting way to look at it might be, which of those small businesses? And I've had some people who've really studied this tell me, well, it's true, but the small businesses that create the most jobs are those that are growing really fast and don't stay as small businesses. The other thing that's really important to remember about all these statistics is it's using the government definition of small business. That's 500 employees. We're not talking, it includes lots of people besides the store down the block from you.
Yeah, that's probably not what the average person thinks of as a small business, 500 employees.
Absolutely not. And by the way, it does include like hedge funds in New York that employ 20 and 30 people. Do we think of those as small businesses?
Yeah. So what about a franchise? If I run the local Gap store with 15 employees, is that a small business, even
yes.
if it's part of a large corporation?
Yes, as long as your franchise doesn't have more than 500 employees. And we know that 2% of all, but it's not as big as you think, 2% of all the small businesses in the country are franchisees.
Yeah, and Obama obviously wasn't talking about hedge funds when we heard him say that you, the small business owner, are the anchors of our main streets, small businesses built by folks who live and work in the community. But does a local franchise, like, let's say a local Gap store or whatever, I don't mean to single out the Gap, and I don't know if it's completely locally owned or...
I don't think the Gap does franchises. Do Dunkin' Donuts, they're the biggest franchisee in New York.
All right. So let's compare the two. Does a local franchise have the same effect on the local economy that a true mom-and-pop business does? And would that franchised Dunkin' Donuts store be more like a mom-and-pop business than, you know, the Gap, which is owned by the big chain but is down the same every block?
I think it would be. I think, you know, the two Dunkin' Donuts I frequent are owned by the same person. He moves employees back and forth. He's got about 10 employees. He's on the hook. The difference is he's selling you a product under guidance, restrictions, whatever you want, that someone else creates. But it's his business. He's on the line. I guess the only difference is because he's a franchisee and because he has a brand name, he has somewhat easier access to capital. But not, you know, as easy access as a big company.
By the way, according to the U.S. Census, you probably know this, about 3/4 of all U.S. business firms have no payroll. Most are self-employed persons operating unincorporated businesses and may or may not be the owner's principal source of income. So that's a really small business.
Right. And the question is, should we count them? I've actually had arguments when I've been doing work for Cranes about how we should count small businesses. There are 27.5 million small businesses in the United States, but only 6 million of them have employees. So they're on the order of 20 million sole proprietors. And are they freelancers or are they small businesses? That's a question anyone can answer any way they want.
The Small Business Administration also says that small firms produce 13 times more patents per employee than large patenting firms, and these patents are twice as likely as large firm patents to be among the 1% most cited. In other words, it sounds like the most creative new products come out of small businesses. Is that what that says?
Yes, I think it does say that. You know, it's absolutely true. The question that I haven't seen any research on, are we actually talking about a small group of companies that produce all those patents, a small group of companies in the early stage of their development that grow quickly? That's the question. Is it all small businesses that are growing, or is it a group of supercharged growth small businesses that provide all this innovation and all this hiring and all this activity?
Yeah, and as for that and the role of small businesses in the current economic crisis, again, we looked up some numbers. A report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics says firms with 250 or more employees accounted for 73% of total net job gains in the fourth quarter of last year. This is the largest net employment gain, about 350,000 people, in this size class since September 2005. So that's a lot of numbers to pick through the haze of. But I guess what it says is that the 250-plus category is the one that's growing. What does that tell us?
Well, I think it tells us larger companies are growing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even think most people listening to the show think 250 employees is a small business. You know, the company that I think is hiring the most people in America is Google. They said at the early part of the year they're hiring 6,000 people this year.
So is it a myth when President Obama goes to a gathering of small business owners and says, you folks account for 2 out of every 3 new jobs created in America?
But if you measure it by 500 employees, it probably works, right? I mean, that's the problem with the definition. There is no – that's what the SBA uses because, frankly, that's how you qualify for special SBA programs with 500 employees. Huh. 500 employees is a lot. You don't 10 grocery stores in New York? You'd be like a chain, like Gristides.
Greg David with us from the Business and Economic Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism as we talk about myths and facts about small business and job creation. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Judy in Port Washington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I've been curious if you can actually make the equation that wealthy equals job creator, like we keep hearing.
This is about the tax rates, right?
Whenever it comes up. Instead of saying rich people, we hear job creators. And I really wonder, are they creating jobs?
So when we debate, Greg, you know what this is about.
Yes.
This is the Obama versus the Republicans raise the marginal rates or the capital gains tax, you know, on people making $250,000 or more or $1 million or more. And the Republicans come back and say, no, those are job-killing taxes because then those are the people who invest in their small businesses and they'll have less money to invest.
The answer is I actually believe that the wealthy, if you define it as $250,000 a year or if you define it as $1 million a year, are indeed the people who run small businesses. One of the things you have to remember, and it's in some ways it's technical, but it's not, small business owners don't pay business taxes. They become subchapter S corporations. So all the income you earn on the business is taxed on your personal income account. Now, if you were a small business owner and you were doing a and you were growing, well, you would really need an income of at least $250,000. Otherwise, no bank would lend you any money, and you'd probably need an income approaching $1 million. Most small business people don't make that kind of money. I think the people who are growing and investing do. So that's how the issue works. To get into exactly, you know, are all the people who make $1 million small business people? Of course not. But many or most successful small business people are in that category.
But then I guess to play out the tax debate, it's if they had to pay, you know, 3 extra points on their income tax to come up to pre-Bush tax cut levels, how many jobs would that stop them from creating?
Well, that's the question, right? That's the issue as to whether you think taxes do matter, whether marginal tax rates matter. At some point, it does make a difference. And the question is, at what point does it make a
difference?
Right,
and as opposed to the presumed good of having more money in the pot for Social Security and Medicare and everything else that the government does. Harmony in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to say that, you know, my small business has about 18 employees. And, you know, I feel like we just don't have enough help. You know, saying that a small business is 500 employees is absurd. You know, I need help for payroll when one of my clients files for bankruptcy and suddenly I'm not being paid for an entire summer's worth of work. You know, I feel like, you know, even considering that a 500-person company is a small business is a joke.
And so why is it like that, Greg? Because you seem to agree with Harmony that it is a joke. Why does it get classified that way according to the government? Why is she with her 18 employees in the same legal boat as, you know, whoever with 500?
Well, it's all politics, right? And that's the way Congress has decided to draw the line. But, you know, I don't think, for example, Congress drew the line politically, if you went to a bank, I don't think any bank would treat a 500-person firm as a small business. But, of course, you have to remember the kind of firm it is. If you're a retailer, you can be a relatively small retailer with 500 employees. If you're an accounting firm and you have 500 employees, you're one of the biggest in New York, which is, of course, another difficulty with just having a rule like this. Every business is different.
Harmony, thank you very much. That doesn't leave you feeling any better, right?
No. And the banks are not helpful, by the way. They're looking at computer screens saying, well, the computer tells me that I need to hold this check that you just gave me for 8 days. You know, they're not helpful, and there's no there's not a one-on-one face-to-face interaction.
What kind of business do you have? You want to shout it out?
It's building maintenance, New York Building Services.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Good luck with it.
Thanks.
Is there a better measurement out there then, Greg? Something that would take into account not only size, but either actual economic impact or actual needs that an 18-person business has as compared to a 400-person business in terms of government services?
No, I don't actually think so, because we're talking about the whole economy here, and everyone faces great difficulties. That, you know, not only isn't there a better definition that the government could use, but every bank I've ever talked to in New York has its own definition based on its analysis of where the opportunities and where the markets are and where its specialty is. I mean, I guess, you know, one of the things we have a lot of small businesses in New York that actually manufacture and export are the diamond people who do all that diamond polishing. Well, they must have enormous revenues, right, and volume with five people sitting there. I don't know where you'd fit them into the equation.
One more call. Shira in Red Bank. You're on WNYC. Hello, Shira.
Hi. I am a sole proprietor with no employees, and I was talking to a IRS worker recently who about this whole small business, who's considered a small business, and she told me if you file a Schedule C form, then anyone who can file a Schedule C form is considered a small business. And I don't know how that fits in.
Schedule C. Okay, Greg, real quick on this.
I file one, too, because I have a lot of freelance income. Yes, I believe the government does regard sole proprietors as businesses and as small businesses. I don't exactly know what that would get you, but yes, that's where they get the huge numbers of small businesses from.
All right, and there we end our two-part Myths and Facts series about jobs in America with Greg David. Yesterday it was about manufacturing. Today it was about small business. Greg David is director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Very informative and fun, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, I think we'll have a fascinating conversation to end the show today. We will look at a treasure trove of 1930s New York City girls' report cards from a vocational school. They were recently analyzed for their historical meaning, and it's fascinating. Stay with us.